Thank you for listening to the Ablaze Church Sermon Podcast. Our purpose at Ablaze is to love God, love others, follow Jesus, and tell others. If you are looking for a church home in the Tulsa area, we'd love to have you join us for worship on Saturdays at 6:30 p.m. or Sundays at 10 a.m. We are located just north of 51st Street on Lynn Lane in Broken Arrow. For more information, please check out our website at ablazechurch.org.
There was a gentleman who was in a hot air balloon, and he was lost. So he started reducing his altitude by, cutting back on the flame, and he lowered himself closer to the ground, and there he spotted a man walking along a road. And he yelled down, "Sir, can you help me?" And the gentleman looked up and kind of surprised. He said, "Oh, well, I guess so. What can I help you with?" The guy in the balloon said, "Where am I?" Guy looked up and he said these words, "Well, you are in the basket of a hot air balloon, hovering about 30 feet above this field." And the guy in the balloon said, "You must be an engineer." And the guy on the ground said, "Well, yeah, I am an engineer. How did you know that?" He said, "Because all the information you have given me is technically correct, but it is absolutely worthless to me." And the guy on the ground looks up and says, "Well, then, obviously, you're in management." And the guy in the balloon looks down and says, "Yes, I am in management. How did you know that?" He says, "Well, you don't know where you are, and you don't know where you're going, but yet you expect me to help you. You are in exactly the same position you are when you first met me, but now, for some reason, it's all my fault." Why do I tell that little story? I tell it because if you don't know where you're at, and if you don't know where you're going, all the statistics, all the technical information that I could ever present to you won't do you any good. Today, I want to speak to you about where you're at and where you're going. We are in a series called Staying in the Game. And if you're going to stay in the game, this is what I think we all need to know. Where we're at, the blueprint versus the game plan. They are different, but yet both are so important. How many of you have ever seen a blueprint in your life? Raise your hand. Oh, wow. Okay. Now, a blueprint is usually blue and it's printed on paper. Throughout centuries of mankind, blueprints are the beginning of a building, a house, a structure. And every set of blueprints has an architect. Let's take a look at the blueprint, if you will, of the church. It does have an architect. And who is the architect? Jesus. We just sang about Jesus. Jesus, how important Jesus is. I want you to know this. Christianity is not founded on Scripture. Let me clarify this, okay? Christianity is founded on an event, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Listen to the words of Martin Luther. The Bible is the cradle that holds the baby Jesus. We do not worship the cradle. We worship the baby. Christianity is founded on the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Listen to the words of the architect. He who put the stars in the skies and made the oceans. He looks at Peter and he says these words, "Peter, you're a rock, Let me paraphrase. Peter, you're a pebble. But it's upon this mountain, stone mountain, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. No, Christianity, listen to the words of Paul. If Christ is not raised from the dead, our faith is in vain. Who's the architect? Jesus. And the structure on that blueprint does not change. Listen to these words. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Let me tell you the good news this morning. God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He doesn't wake up and have a bad day. And that's good news. It has never changed the message. We preach Christ crucified. The message never changes. It's all about the Creator of heaven and earth who died and is coming again. Now, a blueprint details the structure. Imagine if you're building a structure and you say, all right, I want to move that wall. Then the whole structure is compromised. It doesn't change. But the structure is what's important. And I want you to know you are the structure. Listen to these words. You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. That's why I started out with this little nursery rhyme. Here is a building with a steeple. Open the doors, you see the church made up of people. You are the structure. That's where you're at. You're built into the structure called the church, the bride of Christ. Now, if you know where you're at and you know you're part of that, but if you don't know where you're going, I'm telling you, all the information I give you may not be any good. So now I want to share with you the game plan, where we are going. Okay? Now, Dr. Spomer and I, over and over again, have talked and used the illustration of football as an example of a team, because we have a series building up the team in 2018. Today, staying in the game. If you're going to stay in the game, you got to know where you're at. You got to know where you're going. But you also have to know, what is the purpose? Have you ever thought about that? What is the purpose for the church? What is your purpose as a Christian? Well, let's take a look at what Scripture tells us. Has one purpose, to win people. If you're a Christian, to make another Christian. If you're a disciple, to make another disciple. Listen to these words. For though I am free from all, let me tell you something. It is Jesus who sets you free from your sin, from the power of the devil and death. Think about it. If you don't fear death, what else in life is there to fear? Now you know why Paul, why the martyrs. Paul was sent to Rome, and there Nero was in charge. And you know what Nero was doing? Burning Christians at the stake, throwing them to the lions. And all these martyrs who have gone before us did not fear death. And while they were dying, they called upon Jesus, and they never denied his resurrection and who he was. How could they do that? Because they knew death could not hurt them. We have been set free. But listen to what else he says, Paul. I have made myself a servant to all. As a Christian, you are free to live your life any way you want to. You can be as selfish as you want. God gives you that freedom. But let me tell you what Paul says. Paul says, you know, I am free. But you know what I've made? I've made myself a servant, a slave. To who? The unbeliever? The one who may fear death yet? The one who's not part of the church? Listen to his words. I have made myself a servant to all that I might win more of them. What is the purpose of the church? To bring that next generation into the family, into the household, to win a child, a grandchild, an unbeliever for Christ. Do we not sing this in that ancient hymn? If you cannot preach, if you cannot sing like an angel, if you cannot preach like Paul, you can tell of the love of Jesus. You can say he died for all. If you cannot rouse the wicked with judgments, dreadful alarms, you can lead the little children to the Savior's arms. The game plan. If a coach is going to give a game plan, if we're going to use football as an example, let me tell you, the coach stands up and he says, I got a game plan. This is what we're doing. We have an opponent that's going to run. We got to have our defense ready. We have an opponent that's going to throw. We're going to have our defense ready. When it comes to our offense, their defensive line is weak. We're going to run. We all understand a game plan. A game plan always has an offense and a defense, or a defense and offense. Football, basketball, baseball. Without an offense, you don't have a defense. Without a defense, you don't have an offense. You have to have both. Let me tell you, no different for God's game plan for each and every one of us here this morning. There's a defense and there's offense. Let me tell you how Paul describes that. You ready? But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews. What does that mean? The Jews were on the right path, but they stumbled. Folly to the Gentiles. They're going, what are you talking about, this Jesus character? Let me tell you how that works out. Let me take you back in history, take you to Acts chapter 2, give you the historical content. Jesus died on Good Friday, Easter, the celebration. He rises from the dead. For 40 days, Jesus shows himself to the people. Eyewitnesses who saw him die and now saw him resurrected. He did not show himself to the world. He showed himself to over 500 people who walked with him, talked with him, saw him die, and now resurrected. After 40 days, Jesus ascended into heaven, and he told his disciples, go, and I'll send the Holy Spirit. 10 days later, the Holy Spirit falls upon the disciples, Pentecost, and they spoke in different languages that people understood. And you know what the people, Jews from every nation, said? Oh, they're just drunk. Too much. Well, what does Peter? Peter stands up and preaches his first sermon. And he stands up, he says, listen, they're not drunk as you're saying. It's too early in the morning. And so what does Peter do with all these Jews who knew the Bible, respected the Bible, memorized the Bible, and for sure had the Ten Commandments down? He said, isn't that what Joel said in the scriptures? That my spirit will be poured out? And then he starts talking about Jesus. You remember Jesus? He did all those miracles around you. Yes, he's the one who claimed to be God, and he proved it because you crucified him. Yeah, he points at those Jews and said, you crucified him. But God raised him from the dead. And then in defense, you know where Peter leads the people, the Jews who knew the Bible, respected the Bible? He went right back to Scripture and he said, David is an eyewitness. He said, did not David speak about this, that he would not let his body see decay? And then he starts talking about Jesus some more. And says all the things that he did. And that he did rise from the dead because David himself spoke about the resurrected Lord. So for the third time, he goes back to what the Jews knew, the Bible, and he proclaims the prophecy. And this is what we're told. The people were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter, what should we do? And Jesus says, Peter says, turn around. Repent. He doesn't say list your sins. He says turn around. Quit walking away from God. Come towards Jesus and be baptized into his name. And this is what we're told. Thousands and thousands turned around and became Christians, followers of Jesus Christ that day. Defense, the word of God. Jesus crucified, the message. Now let me take you forward in time to Acts 17. We don't have Peter anymore. We have Paul. And Paul goes on the offense, not the defense. Between Acts 2 and Acts 17, when the disciples would go into a town, they'd go first to the synagogue and share the message. And then they would go into the streets. And if somebody did not listen, they shook the dust off their feet and they went elsewhere. Meaning there was always a time to play defense, but they also played offense. So many times we forget about this. Acts 17, it is now Paul. Peter went to the Jews. Maybe you've heard this. Paul went to the Gentiles. They were both Jews in origin. But two ways to preach Christ crucified. In Acts 17, it is Paul who goes to Athens. Athens is full of Greeks. Greeks have many gods, all the gods of mythology. Paul goes to the Areopagus. What's the Areopagus? A public place. It is a rock. I've stood on the very place where Paul did this in Acts 17. It's just a rock where you can just see all the areas for people to sit and relax and hear the wisdom of the day. What was important to the Greeks? Philosophers. Wisdom. And Paul stands up. He goes to where they are. He doesn't expect them to come to where he's at. And he says, men of Athens, as I walk around your beautiful city, I see you are very religious. He compliments them. He says, I see all these altars to all the many gods, but I also notice that in your wisdom, you have an altar here to the unknown God. It is that God I would like to speak to you today about. And he says, we know that God is the one who created our world. You see it. And you know that God is not contained or live. God does not live in a temple, even the temple in Jerusalem. No. We know that because God is the creator of all men and their hands. And as we look at all of mankind and we look at the heavens, the sun, the moon, and the stars, we know they have boundaries. They have orbits. There's a design to it. And when we look at all the different men and women in the world, all nations, all mankind, we know there's a common designer. That alone, Paul says, should lead you to the God who created everything. That alone should make you want to find him. And if you are compelled, you will find him. He doesn't say you'll be saved. He says you will find him. Then it is Paul who quotes, not scripture. Oh, I know that might upset some of you. He does not go to the Bible. You know where he goes and quotes? The wisdom of the day. He says, Do not the wisest people you know say this? In him we move and live and have our being? That's not in the Bible. And then he quotes the wisdom of the world once again. Does not the smartest people you know say we are his offspring? Wow, what a way to approach. And then he begins to talk about God again. God is not made by human hands in the form of gold or silver or an image. No, he's the creator, and he sent his son, Jesus. Jesus who died and rose from the dead. And all of a sudden, they're like, the resurrection. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We'll get back with you, Paul. But this is what we're told. A few believed. A man and a woman is mentioned, and a few more. Not thousands. Just a few believe and follow. Now, you might say, no, the defense was what was important. When thousands were converted, offense was just a few. But the offense and the defense is God's plan. We preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to those who are on the path. What was the stumbling block? They couldn't believe God would die, that the Messiah would be crucified. Stumbling block. Foolishness to the Gentiles. Why? Because we have so many gods, and now you're going to say there's only one God, and he died on the cross for us, and rose? No, Zeus kills people. Folly, a God who dies for people. Listen, it has a different play for different people. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jew and folly to the Gentiles. To those who are being called. Now, 2018. What is it, 2018? Let's put it right now where we are going. Here at Ablaze, we need to be on the defense. What's the defense? We need to speak to people who may know the Bible. People who may know Christmas is about the birth of Christ. People who may know the Ten Commandments may respect the Bible. Why? Because this nation was founded on biblical principles. At one time, my great-grandfather went to a school, and every school, wherever in this country was, the number one and the very first textbook in all the major schools in our country was the Bible. The Ten Commandments were taught from the Bible. ABCs, according to the Bible, A for Adam. That's all in the documents of the history of our country. Now, I grew up in a country where the Bible was being removed from the school. The Ten Commandments are being removed from courthouses. Prayer is gone from schools. We have a generation of people growing up where they may have never heard of the Bible. It may be folly to them when you say Christmas is about the birth of Christ. They will tell you, no, it's a holiday, because that's what's taught in schools. We must be on the defense, and that's what we're doing today. We're talking about the Bible. We're looking at the Bible. On Saturday night, what do? We look at the Bible, and we talk about the Bible, and we say, Christ has been crucified, and he rose from the dead. This is the witness. This Bible is about eyewitnesses. But what about those who may not even know the Bible? What about the Gentiles, the Greeks of our world, or that generation growing up without the Bible? Meaning, we grew up in God we trust. Do you realize there are people who say, in God we trust? No, I trust in the government, the House, the Senate. Do you know the world we live in? No different than 2,000 years ago. And we have to be on the offense. What's the offense? Let me share something with you. Imagine me standing in front of you or a group of people and saying these words. There is a perfect brain behind all the physical laws of our world. The more I study science, the more I believe in God. You know who said that? Einstein, one of the greatest minds of our day. Imagine if I'd quote him. Some of you might be going, why would you quote him in church? Why? Because that's being on the offense. Imagine this. If I would quote Newton, Isaac Newton. This most beautiful system of the sun, the planets, and the comets. That's what Paul says about the boundaries of the solar system in Acts 17. The people knew that 2,000 years ago. Could only proceed from the counsel and dominion of an intelligent, powerful being. If a great scientist, Isaac Newton, saw that, I'm telling you, if you've never heard about God or the Bible, let me tell you about the one who caused the Big Bang. The one who did not make everything evolve, but create it. Let me tell you number three about a game plan. Number three of the game plan always examines weakness and strengths for growth inside of people. Listen to these words. And may God speak to you. Examine yourselves. When's the last time you examined yourself? I am not talking about your sins here. We do that in an opening of many services. Examine yourself to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Well, examine yourselves. Now, test yourselves? Yeah. Who's saying this? Paul. To the church, to you and to me, living stones. Or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet the test? Do you see yourself on defense or offense, or part of the game plan of both? When I was a freshman in college, I wanted to play football, so I walked on to the college football team. I didn't have much of a chance. I sat on the bench my freshman year. The second year, we got a new coach. And the new coach kind of looks at everybody. He doesn't know everybody, and he just said, listen, this is what I want you to do, and if you can do it, you're going to play. He says, I want you to test yourself, envision yourself, examine yourself. Do you know what you're doing and where you're going? He says, this will help you. If you're the quarterback, I want you to envision passing the ball before you ever pass it and the person receiving it, catching it. Envision that again and again and again. If you're a lineman, envision yourself blocking and nobody getting to that quarterback. He says, if you're a defensive player, and that was me, free safety, he said, envision every play. You're making that tackle. You're putting your head on the outside and you're tackling him. Envision yourself running up and hitting that ball before he catches it and reflecting it. Envision yourself going to the right position on the field. And he says, it'll help you do it. No coach has ever told me that before. Envision yourself, examine yourself before you ever do it. And let me tell you, I started playing differently. I saw myself tackle everybody, and my game improved. The coach was so impressed, he put me in as a sophomore. I started the rest of my sophomore year, halfway through. I started as a junior and a senior. What did I have to do every game? Examine myself. Am I ready? Do I know what I'm doing? I ask you this, speaking to a family member, a child, a grandchild, someone at work, Could you play defense and offense? Where is your areopagus? What is that? A place, a door that God opens and says, go and speak. Could you say to somebody who's struggling with the Bible, knows that it's a neat and wonderful book and has so much, but I don't understand it. Could you say, but let me tell you, in the Old Testament, Isaiah, an eyewitness, says this about what God the Father told him to say. By his wounds, we're going to be healed. Could you defend the Bible, that cradle that holds Jesus? If not, get ready. Test yourself. At work, at a family reunion, at a party, could you get on the offense? Could you pass the ball? Could you say to somebody, listen, I know you love science, and I know you believe in the Big Bang, but have you ever heard about the one who pulled the trigger? Have you ever known or heard about a scientist who said, the more I study science, the more I believe in God? Science and scripture are written by the same hand, folks. Yeah. Scientific law and the words of the Bible never do this. Oh, there's scientific theories that do that, but not law and science. We need to know the wisdom of the world and share that also and tie it back to Jesus. Let me give you a vision. Let me give you a direction. Dr. Spomer and I, that's part of our job, to tell the church and speak to the church and talk about where we're going. You know where I believe our areopagus is? That place that God has opened a door for us to speak his words and talk to the world and people who may not know the words of the Bible, but they know the wisdom of the world. It's what takes place in this building 5 days a week. Let me tell you what happens. Some 90 parents, 5 days a week, they bring their children through those doors that you just walked through to this areopagus. And they say to the teachers and to CARE, our administrator, we entrust to you the most precious thing we have, our children. Teach them about Jesus. Wow. Can you imagine if this group of living stones said, you know, that's a door we need to be on the offense? Imagine if one of you, Ruth Ann, if you adopted a student that goes to school here, and Ruth Ann said, you know, I'm going to pray for that student, and on his birthday, I'm going to send him a birthday card. And when it comes to Christmas, I'm going to send him a Christmas card and say, just want to remind you, it's not Happy Holiday, it's Merry Christmas. It's about the birth of Jesus. Can you imagine if we had a Christmas program on the defense? That's for us. And our children did a play for Christmas. Can you imagine us going on the offense? What would that be like? All we did was have a Christmas program for the children of ACA. And we did it on a level just for them. And what did we become? Just servants for those parents who walk through those doors for a Christmas program where Christ and the birth of Christ is proclaimed. There are so many doors that God has opened for us, an areopagus at your work, in your family, in our church. We have to examine ourselves. We have to say, are we ready, both defense and offense? Are we ready to preach Christ crucified through the words of the Bible, and even through the teaching of the wisdom of the world? We better be. Because that's God's game plan, folks. That's God's game plan. We just have to preach Christ crucified. Whether it's a stumbling block or a folly, we need to preach Christ crucified. You need to preach Christ crucified in your family, in your home, at your school, in your church. Why? If one person is one, thousands to a few, it's still God's plan. And we're a part of it. And that is exciting. I can't wait for the next several months and all of next year to share that vision and to talk about it and to be about God's plan for you and for me. It looks like this. Here's a building with a steeple. You open those doors, you see the church made up of people. Amen. Would you bow your heads with me for a word of prayer? Father, you have put this team together. You have laid down the structure, the plan of salvation. It has never changed from the Old Testament to the New Testament. It is by grace through faith we are saved. Faith in the one who was to come, who has come, and who's coming again. Help us to understand the game plan. We preach Christ crucified, but different ways to different people. Because people are on different levels. There are those who know the Bible, and there are those who may be interested in the Bible, and there are those who have no idea what the Bible says. But our job is to speak about Jesus, who has changed our world. It is not the Bible that makes it 2018. It's Jesus. He's the reason we're here, and we need to present that to the next generation. Move us, guide us, motivate us, for we are your living stones in this structure you have built. And we thank you for the good news that the gates of hell will not prevail against it. That's the good news. Help us to think about it. Help us to envision reaching out to everyone that you have opened a door to, whether that is a spouse, a child, a grandchild, an uncle, an aunt, a neighbor. May we stand on the areopaguses of life and talk about Jesus. I pray this blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.